11 a.m. November 11. Remembrance Day. And we pause to remember. Although the Gallipoli campaign failed in its military objectives, the Australian and New Zealand actions during the campaign bequeathed an intangible but powerful legacy.
500,000 Australians enlisted. Why did they all enlist?
Well, it was something that had to be done. It was my duty.
I enlisted really in 1914 when the war broke out in about August the 4th or 5th.
I was 18 when I went to the front line.
Over 8,000 Australians and 2,700 New Zealanders died at Gallipoli.
We had no idea the danger we were going to.
When all said and done, someone had to go.
The creation of the Anzac legend is an important part of the national identity of both of our nations.
But I can remember that, particularly the infantry, saying, "I wonder if they can hear us leave." I mean, of course, they're dead mates. I don't think they actually like pulling out.
They died for us, for their families and friends, for a collection of traditions they cherished and a future they believed in.
These young Australians, with their New Zealand comrades, had come to do their bit.
The toast is Anzac, gentlemen, on far Gallipoli. To the Anzacs!
To the Anzacs!
World War I began in 1914 and lasted 4 years. More than 416,000 Australians had volunteered for service. More than 60,000 of them were killed, including 45,000 who died on the Western Front in France and Belgium.
All these pillboxes open up with machine guns on us. Oh, blimey, our casualties there was tough.
I suppose you weren't frightened, but you were aware of people were getting bowled over pretty often.
You'd think, well, I wonder, will they have one with my address on it?
In Flanders fields, the poppies grow between the crosses, row on row. We found dawn to live short days ago. We loved and were loved and saw sunsets glow. And now we lie in Flanders.
In the case of a soldier's death during World War I, the next of kin was notified by an urgent telegram and delivered by a boy on a bicycle. One such telegram is read here by a wife at home.
Regimental number 1768, Private Thomas Tompkin, has been reported missing in action at Gallipoli and is presumed dead. On behalf of a grateful nation, I acknowledge your sacrifice. I extend the government's and the nation's condolences to you and your family. May he rest in peace.
You never live to see what you gave to me, one shining dream of hope and love, life and liberty, with a host of brave unknown soldiers for your company. Amen.
telegram was signed Billy Hughes, Prime Minister of Australia.
The battalion commander came out with the news in early morning, it was, and he said, the war's finished.
At 5 a.m. on November 11, 1918, Germany accepted the terms of the armistice. 4 years of hostilities ended.
All lads went up in the air, got down in the cellars. White wine and red wine were all in and up, all got drunk.
All over the world, people were celebrating the end of the war. They danced in the streets. They drank champagne.
Oh, they went bloody mad. Celebrations were the right term, I suppose. There could not have been any other word to describe how you would celebrate something marvellous that happened. Something just unbelievable could happen, that the bloody war was over.
The greatest day of our lives.
But on the front, some could think only of the crude crosses that marked the graves of their comrades.
Rows and rows of lonely crosses, each one tells a story. Each one was a young man with a heart that beat with youthful pride.
Their minds were numbed by the shock of peace, their past consumed their consciousness.
What a bloody murder and self-destruction. Oh, Christ, I can't get over it. I never will. I don't want to remember it. I'm bloody sorry to remember it. Sorry to remember it. Sorry to remember it. Sorry to remember it.
The names of many Australians who died in World War One appear on memorials along the Western Front, including about 18,000 men with no known grave. In 1993, to mark the 75th anniversary of the 1918 armistice, the Australian government exhumed the remains of an unknown Australian soldier from the Adelaide War Cemetery near Villers-Bretonneux, France, for entombment in the Australian War Memorial's Hall of Memory in Canberra. The funeral for the unknown soldier was held on Remembrance Day 1993. The then Prime Minister, the Honourable Paul Keating, delivered this eulogy.
We do not know this Australian's name, and we never will. We do not know his rank or his battalion. We do not know where he was born, or precisely how and when he died. We do not know where in Australia he had made his home, or when he left it for the battlefields of Europe. We do not know his age or his circumstances, whether he was from the city or the bush, what occupation he left to become a soldier, what religion, if he had a religion, if he was married or single. We do not know who loved him or whom he loved. If he had children, we do not know who they are. His family is lost to us as he was lost to them. We will never know who this Australian was. Yet he has always been among those we've honoured. We do know that he was one of the 45,000 Australians who died on the Western Front, one of the 416,000 Australians who volunteered for service in the First World War, one of the 324,000 Australians who served overseas in that war, and one of the 60,000 Australians who died on foreign soil, one of the 100,000 Australians who have died in wars this century. He is all of them, and he's one of us.
Every Remembrance Day and Anzac Day, even the most eloquent find it difficult to define the essence of the word Anzac, to do justice to more than 102,000 Australian lives lost. Almost a century after Gallipoli, just four words embody the spirit of Anzac. Courage. endurance, mateship, sacrifice. And three words have stood the test of time. Lest we forget.
They shall grow not old as we that are left grow. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn at the going down of the sun.
In our time, and for all time, we will remember them.